Stan Freeberg modestly presents the United States of America. The early years. 1492, Madrid. The Queen of Spain grants an audience to an obscure Italian sailor. There in her chambers, plans are made destined to change the course of history.
All right, we'll go over it once again. First, you hawk the jewels, you give me the money, and I buy the ships. Then I discover the New World, you dump the king, and I'll send for you.
You say you'll send for me, darling, but will you?
Now, look, we've been all through this before.
I know, but really, you're such a dreamer. You'll go out there and you'll sail right off the edge of the world.
I will not.
Wait. You're such a charming boy, darling. Why don't you forget all this? I'll set you up with a nice little fiat agency over in West Barcelona.
I don't want a fiat agency.
Well, then why don't you go to art school like your friend Da Vinci? I'll put you through.
Look, if Lenny wants to starve to death, that's up to Lenny. Me, I want to discover the new world. Carry out my dream.
His Majesty, King Ferdinand.
The king.
Oh, sure. He'll be at the Inquisition all afternoon, huh?
The time just slipped away. Quickly, take the jewels and go over the balcony.
Too late.
Good afternoon, dear. How was the Inquisition? Amusing?
Dullsville. Same old... Hey, who's that?
Oh, you remember Christopher Columbus.
Oh, you mean old round, round world? You and your bohemian friends.
He's not bohemian, he's Italian.
Italian, bohemian, look at him in that hat. Is that a crazy sailor?
Crazy. I'll tell you how crazy. He's a man with a dream, a vision. A vision of a new world whose alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. With purple mountain majesties above the 2 cents plain.
Fruited.
Fruited. He holds these dreams to be self-evident. This round, round world with Indians and justice for all. Let us then go forward together toward Miami Beach. That the dream of this crazy Italian boy, indivisible, should not perish from the map.
Bravo! Bravo!
Hey, was that moving? Was that a great bit?
Listen, huh? I always said this girl had a lot... Wait a minute! I ask a simple question, I get a pageant. Why should Spain sponsor you? Why don't you go to Portugal?
I did. They bought the prices right.
Oh.
Then I have your permission to sail?
Have you had your shot?
I have.
Permission granted.
Grazie. Arrivederci.
Hasta la vista.
Adios.
Adios, muchachos, compañeros.
Will you get out of here? Strange, he left by the balcony.
Force of habit, I guess.
Yeah. How's that again?
Nothing.
Isabella, when are you going to quit fooling around with these nuts?
Admiral Columbus, sir. The men are weary, on the point of madness.
Well, that's the trouble with labor today. Don't they realize we're going to discover the new world?
You've been saying that for the last 57 days.
Well, nobody forced you to come along, Your Majesty.
My doctor told me I should go to Florida for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't see what you needed 3 ships for.
I got a better deal on the fleet rate.
I'll accept that. But we better sight land pretty soon. There's rumblings of mutiny.
Really?
Yeah, come over here and listen.
All right.
Rumble, rumble, rumble. Mutiny, mutiny, mutiny.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I'll jump up here in the rigging and speak to him.
You mean on top of everything else, this ship is rigged?
Now hear this. This is the Admiral speaking. I know the going has been rough, but if we can just hold out a little while...
Rumble, rumble.
Stop that rumbling down there.
Rumble.
Who could blame him? The whole thing is madness. I don't like the way the crew is acting.
Well, you're overplaying a little bit yourself there.
I tell you, the world is flat. And that's that.
It's round as your hat.
It's flat as your head.
It's round.
It's flat.
It's a round, round world. It's a round, round world. I contend it's round and it's gonna be found when all the results are in. It's a round world now, and it's always been.
Flat, flat world. It's a flat, flat world. I insisted flat as a welcoming mat, and he's sailing off the end. How about our crazy Australian
friend? Get hip. Would I climb aboard this ship? If I didn't have odds, the earth was highly spherical.
It's a miracle if it's
square, square king. You're a square, square king. If you don't believe, you're gonna receive the shock of your royal life. When the ship pulls in at Miami,
yo ho ho, and a dramamine. We are loyal subjects of the king and queen. But what kind of nut would you have to be to borrow a ship and put out to sea when you don't know what's on the other side?
Oh, wait, long, got a hard tack fun, brother. Who said getting there was half the fun? Give up my throne for one navy bean. No wonder I'm turning. Three shades of green, how could I?
Girl,
I'm such a lonely,
crazy kind of scheme. It's a cockamamie dream.
Would the climb aboard this ship?
We're gonna scream.
If I didn't have odds, the earth was highly spherical.
It's a miracle if it
is. You're so cold to the wind and rain. There's a typhoon's coming up, but where's John Wayne?
I feel like a red witch having a wake. How much of the ocean bit do you think I can take?
Command in the name of,
claim that land in the name of,
Isabella and Ferdinand.
That's Ferdinand and Isabella.
New rulers of this round, round.
It's a crazy kind of scheme. It's a cockamamie dream.
Well, for all our sakes, I hope. What was that?
French horns.
No, I mean before that.
Oh, it was the lookout. He sighted land.
Hooray!
Quickly, hand me the glass.
All right.
No, the other one.
Oh.
To the new world.
Likewise. Go ahead. Give the kid top billing.
Well, it was just a thought.
No, go ahead.
All right. I claim this land in the name of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand of Spain.
Ho!
Well, first I stick the flag in the sand, and then I...
Watch yourself, Admiral. Natives. They may be hostile.
Well, we're all a little hostile now and then. Some of us are able to sublimate. Others can't adjust. You know how it is.
I know, but you better try and talk to them.
All right. Hello there. We white men, other side of ocean. My name, Christopher Columbus.
Oh, you over here on a Fulbright?
Huh? No, I'm over here on an Isabella, as a matter of fact. Which reminds me, I want to take a few of you guys back with me in the boat to prove I discovered you.
What do you mean, discover us? We discover you.
You discovered us?
Certainly. We discover you on beach here, is all how you look at it.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Well, at any rate, my men and I were wondering if you could spare a little food.
What kind num-nums you want?
Well, what is that strange-looking plant you're holding there with little yellow kernels?
You mean this?
Yes. What is that?
French horns.
No. What you're holding in your hand.
Oh, corn.
That's what I thought it was. What else you got to eat around here?
Oh, berries, herbs, natural fruits, and organically grown vegetables.
Just as I suspected. What kind of a diet is that? That's why I've come here. To fulfill my dream.
You have a dream?
Yes, I do.
Would you like to talk about it?
I certainly would. My dream is to open the first Italian restaurant in your country. Give you some real food. Starches, spaghetti, cholesterol, all the better things. That's called progress, you see? Now, right here would be a good location for the restaurant. Ocean view and all that. Is there room for a parking lot?
You kidding? Whole country is parking lot.
I suppose. Well, I'd like to put a little deposit down on the property here.
Okay.
I only have a few doubloons on me, so if you'll direct me to the nearest bank, I'll get a check cash.
You out of luck today. Bank's closed.
Oh? Why?
Columbus Day.
Oh, yeah. We going out on that joke?
No, we do reprise of song. That help.
But not much.
Not much, no.
Yo, ho, ho, and a buckskin sleeve. Now the white man's here, I guess it's time to leave.
I go to war and fight like a shirt. Perhaps we can pick up some kind of work in an Indian extravaganza. Wyatt Earp or Bonanza.
Please don't call us, we'll call you.
Step aside, pal, meet the new.
The cheeses of this round, round world.
November 1621. By now the white man has arrived in great numbers, not only at Miami, but at Jamestown, at Plymouth, and at Salem, Massachusetts. The Puritans have established a thriving colony, enjoying all the social and cultural refinements of a modern society.
Hiya, Harv. Who are you taking to the witch burning Saturday night?
Prudence Adams. Who are you taking to the Rotary Club luncheon?
I haven't got a date yet, but I hear it's going to be quite a spread.
Well, Mayor Pennypacker, how's it look for re-election?
Great, great, great. Never looked better.
Yeah, what about the Indian vote?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're not too popular with the Indians. They could lose you the election.
That's possible?
Well, they outnumber us.
Well, that's the trouble. You give them an inch and they take over.
But, Mayor, they were here before we were. We moved in on them.
So we did. Well, there's just something about them. They wear funny shoes. They don't even have buckles on them.
Be that as it may, election is Friday. You better make some gesture this week.
Like what?
Well, how about if you make a concession and pick an Indian as a running mate? You'd be sure to carry the Indian block.
What? Anything happened to me, you'd have a mayor that wasn't a Puritan. He'd probably take orders directly from Chief Powhatan.
Yeah.
Say, I got it. The big luncheon tomorrow. The one under the trees.
What about it?
We'll ask an Indian. That'll impress the rest of them.
We could even announce you're going to put one in your cabinet.
No need to go that far. Just have one to lunch.
It'll be great press.
Mayor Pennypacker comes out for equality. Justice. Votes.
What a slogan. Take
an Indian to lunch this week. Show him we're a regular bunch this week. Show him we're as liberal as can be. Let him know he's almost as good as we. Make a feathered friend feel fed this week. Overlook the fact he's red this week. Let him share our Quaker oats, 'cause he's useful when he votes. Take an Indian to lunch.
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we tolerate? Indians, Indians, rah, rah, rah. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Let him sit right down and munch this week.
Let's give in and all do the brotherhood bit. Just make sure we don't make a habit of it. Take an Indian to dine this week. Show him we don't draw the line this week. We know everyone can't be as American as we. After all, we came over on the Mayflower. Take an Indian, not a wooden Indian, but a real life Indian to lunch.
As the white man's foothold increases, the red man's land diminishes. Seldom has history recorded such a phenomenal land transaction as that which took place on a little island in the Hudson River in 1626. There, a voice cries out in the wilderness, and a city is born.
Too many moons we live here, White Cloud. Time to unload this crummy island. Why we not live in Massachusetts like your brother? He get invited to lunch.
Big deal.
This place too hot in summer, too cold in winter. No place for Papoose to grow up. No chance for culture.
Well, he could run down to Carnegie Wigwam on Sunday afternoons, listen to Flying Birdstein explain the ceremonial dances.
You'll listen me. Sell Manhattan to white man. Get me plenty junk jewelry. All right?
All right. Me list with real estate agent. He find live one, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Chief, I think I got a live one for you. Dutchman. Now, when he gets here, let me do all the talking, all right?
Mm.
Hey, here he is now. Come in.
Say, that's pretty hard buffalo hide you got here on this teepee. I like to bust my knuckles.
Yeah, well, just so he didn't bust his pockets, eh, Chief?
Mm.
Tishman's my name, Peter Tishman.
And this here is Chief White Cloud. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I seen your listing in the paper here. For sale, Iceland, ! Ideal for summer festival. Gorgeous view, spell V-U, running water.
Wait a minute. What is that running water bit?
That my wife, brother. He go with island.
Oh, yeah.
Spacious trees, wall-to-wall grass, room for pool. What's pool?
It's like snooker.
Oh.
Well, that's it. Now, if you're in the market for an island friend, you couldn't go wrong, believe me.
What's the asking price?
You give us...
Let me handle this, will you, Chief? Now, a beautiful piece of property like this couldn't let it go for a nickel less than $32 worth of junk jewelry.
What, $32 for a crummy piece of undeveloped property like this? I'm going to see you around.
Make it $29.50.
Go away.
Look, I don't like to haggle, Pete. Make it 28 and a quarter. Right?
Come on.
Wait a minute. Chief, when I give you the signal, bring on the Indians.
Right.
Now, look, Pete, baby, can't you see the possibilities? Step outside here. Look around you. Sure, it's a barren piece of wasteland now. Sure, it don't look like much. But someday, this little footpath is gonna echo with the sound of dancing feet. Why, they're gonna hang a sign right over there, and it's gonna say Broadway. Yeah. This way, Mr. First Nighter. Put on your top hat, white feather and tails. Paint up your faces, you reds and you pales. Put on your beaded goods, we're gonna do the woods. Tap dance up the hills and down the dale. Remember, someday, this all will be mirth. Yes, sir, right here on Broadway. Corner 51st, yes, sir. You'll be a vital part of all the terribly smart set.
In your top hat, white feather and tails.
Here we go! Let me have it, boy! Stand up to your penthouse and look at the view. Mix with a show folk and Park Avenue, yes, sir. So gay and so aloof, name dropping on the rooftop.
Drinking champagne by the pail. In your top hat, white feather and tails.
Say, that was a nice number. You kids get a pretty good sound out of them moccasins.
Yes, sir, considering they were tap dancing on dirt, too.
Well, I'm going to see you.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Make it 25 even. We'll toss in the Bronx.
No, I couldn't possibly see my way clear.
We throw in Staten Island.
You hear that? Is that a generous Indian? You'll have Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too. Hello? Yeah, Dick. Mm-hmm. We use any more, we'll have to pay a royalty, huh? All right, sweetie, we'll knock it off. Right. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I'll give you $24.
Sold. But none of that cash stuff. The chief's wife wants strictly junk jewelry.
Mmm. Baubles, bangles, bright, shiny beads.
Yeah, hold it, baby, will you? You're laying yourself wide open for another phone call.
Okay, it's a deal. Here you go. You're lucky the price wasn't no higher. I never carry more than $24 in junk jewelry.
Nice quality. Wife, flip.
All right, man, pack up those trees and let's get out of here.
What?
Strike the forest.
Wait a second. Where are you going with my trees?
What do you think? You bought a furnished island?
You mean all those trees was in pots?
Yes, laugh on you. Old island, solid concrete. Nothing grow except in little square place in middle of island.
But how am I going to get people to live on a solid concrete island?
Who would want to? Nice place to visit, but...
But you wouldn't want to live here.
Yeah.
I guess you're right.
The trouble continued to brew. It was a time for action. and the time for words. On a hot July night in 1776, Benjamin Franklin was aroused from his work by the call of destiny.
Hey, you in there, Ben?
Who's that, Sylvia?
It's the call of destiny.
Come on, take a look through the curtains there.
It's Tom Jefferson.
What, again? Well, it's no good. I'll have to let him in. I'm coming.
Hi, Ben.
Tom?
You got a minute?
Well, I tell you the truth, we were just going out of town for the weekend.
But it's only Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned.
What does that got to do with anything, Franklin?
I don't know. It's the first thing came into my head. I was just making conversation. An idle brain is the devil's playground, you know.
So you're pretty good at that, aren't
you? Yeah, there's some new wise sayings I just made up.
Wise sayings?
I call them wise sayings.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do for you?
Well, I got this petition here. I've been circulating around the neighborhood. Uh-huh. Kind of thought you'd like to sign it. It's called the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sounds a little suspect, if you ask me.
What do you mean, suspect?
Well, you're advocating the overthrow of the British government by force and violence, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but we've had it with that royal jazz.
Who's we?
Well, all the guys.
Who's all the guys?
Oh, George, Jim Madison, Alex Hamilton, Johnny Adams, you know, all the guys.
The lunatic fringe.
Oh, they are not.
Bunch of wild-eyed radicals. Professional liberals, don't kid me.
Oh, you call George Washington a wild-eyed radical?
Washington? I don't see his name on there.
No, but he promised to sign it.
Oh, yeah, that's George for you. Talks up a storm with them wooden teeth. Can't shut him off. When it comes time to put the name on the old parchment of Rooney, try and find him.
Hey, what are you so surly about today?
Surly to bed and surly to rise.
Oh, all right, let's knock off the one-line jokes and sign the petition. What do you say, huh, fella?
Well, let me skim down it here. When in the course of human events, so-and-so, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That's pursuit of happiness.
Well, all your S's look like F's here.
Oh, it's stylish.
Oh, I see.
It's in. It's very in.
Oh, well, if it's in. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, so-and-so, solemnly publish and declare that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and so on. Little overboard, isn't it?
Oh, well,
you write this?
Yeah, I knocked it out. It's just a first draft, you know.
Well, I tell you, why don't you leave it with me and I'll mail it in, huh?
Oh, come on.
No, I tell you, Tom, let me say this. I'm with you in spirit. I'm sure you understand that, but, you know, I got to play it conservative. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I got the printing business going pretty good. Almanac made Book of the Month. And then I got the inventions, you know. Got pretty good distribution on the stoves now. And, of course, every Saturday evening, I bring out the mag.
The what?
Magazine.
Oh. Uh-huh. Oh, that reminds me, that artist I sent by, did you look at his stuff?
You mean the Rockwell boy? Skinny kid with the pipe?
Yeah, that's a kid.
Yeah, I glanced at it, and he's too far out for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you got to play it safe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But getting back to the signing of the petition, how about it, huh?
Well,
it's a harmless paper.
Oh, sure, harmless. I know how these things happen. You go to a couple of harmless parties, sign a harmless petition, forget all about it. 10 years later, you get hauled up before a committee. No, thank you. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life writing in Europe.
Oh, come on.
Come on what?
Come on and put your name on the dotted line.
I got to be particular what I sign.
It's just a piece of paper.
Just a piece of paper, that's what you say.
Come on and put your signature on the list.
It looks to have a very subversive twist.
How silly to assume it. Won't you nom de plume it today? You're so skittish. Who possibly could care if you do?
The Un-British Activities Committee, that's who.
Let's have a little drinko and fill the quill.
It sounds a little pinko to me, but still.
Knock off the timid manner if you want a banner to raise.
Banner to raise.
You must take,
I must take,
a stand,
for this brave
new land,
for who wants
to live,
so conservative, but if I don't dance,
eat don't disagree.
Agree.
But a man can't be too careful what he signs these days.
Well, if I sign it, will you renew your subscription?
Yeah, if you promise not to keep throwing it on the roof.
Well, my...
If it isn't on the roof, it's in the rose bushes or in the mud.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be, you know. Besides, it's hard to hit the porch from a horse.
Now, come on. All we want to do is hold a few truths to be self-evident.
You're sure it's not going to start a revolution or anything?
Trust me.
Okay, give it to me. You got a quill on you?
Yeah, here you are.
Look at that show-off Hancock, will you? Pretty flamboyant signature for an insurance man.
Ah, you did a good thing, Ben. You won't be sorry. Now, if I can just get another 3 or 4 guys, we'll be all set.
Well, I tell you one thing.
What's that?
You better get them to sign it in the next couple of days before they all take off for the 4th of July weekend.
As the seeds of turmoil flowered and grew, the hastily assembled American army craved a banner they could call their own. To a certain Philadelphia seamstress came General George Washington one day in the icy winter of 1777.
Betsy! You in there, Betsy?
Who is it?
It's me, George.
Oh, boy. Come on in. Hey, ever hear of wiping your feet?
How's that?
You're tracking snow all over my early American rug.
Oh, yeah, sorry. All right, let's get out of business now. Have you got it finished?
Your flag?
No, my jacket.
Yeah, but don't you want to see the flag?
The flag can wait. I got a man outside from Esquire.
All right, you want to slip it on?
Please.
Okay, here we go. Take a look in the mirror there.
Is that a darling blazer?
Yeah, darling.
Is it me?
It's you. Huh? Now, how about we check over the flag?
Wait a minute. You think the lace on the cuffs is too much?
No, huh? It's fine.
You really like it?
I adore it. Now, about...
I wonder if I should have had the silk brocade instead of the lace.
Lace, brocade.
Say, these antique military buttons worked out real nice, huh?
Well, I'm
or
glad...
Or should I have taken the mother of pearl?
We've been all through this, George. You wouldn't want the mother of pearl. Once you had them on, you'd hate them.
Yeah, but on the other hand...
Look, I made you a spiffy little blazer there. You got the lace on the cuffs and the antique military buttons and the gold epaulets and the emblem on the pocket.
All right.
Now, why don't you look at the flag, huh?
All right.
Just a minute. Let me bite the thread off here.
Well, snap it up. Spread it out in your lap there, and we'll... You having a little fun at your country's expense here? Huh?
How's that?
You're kidding with these colors? Red, white, and blue?
Well, those are the only remnants I had around
Wait a minute. Stars? I deliberately said polka dots.
Huh?
Stars with stripes? How does that work together, design-wise?
All right, you want to be the big man and put on the thimble, huh?
No, it's just...
Then how's about you let me run the flag department and you run the army like a nice father of our country, okay?
I know, but look at the colors you chose. The best you could do, I suppose. A peppermint stripe with royal blue, the same as the British colors, too. Now how will we tell whose side is who? Look at the colors you chose. Why couldn't it have been puce? Lavender over chartreuse, or possibly some exotic shade, the delicate orange mauve or jade, instead of the choice that has been made. Why couldn't it have been possibly cinnamon?
Everybody wants to be an art director. Everybody wants to call the shots.
Yeah, well.
Everybody wants to be a flag dissector, changing all my stars to polka dots. Everybody thinks that they're the final word on what is strictly out and what is in. How'd you like a banner made of pea green spots on simulated leopard skin? Or possibly a flag that features Fleur de Lis on ochre corrugated tin?
I'd like it. How soon can you make one up?
Come on, there's your flag. Take it or leave it.
All right. Say, what's this little ticket here that just fell out? Inspected by number 28.
That's me.
Oh, yeah.
You want it on a hanger?
No, I'll just run it up the flagpole, see if anybody salutes.
Okay.
I guess it's better than don't tread on me.
Certainly. Besides, 100 years from now, what the heck difference will it make?
I guess you're right. Come on, men.
December 1776, on the banks of the Delaware, cruel winds whistle through the threadbare clothing of the 8,000-man American army, all too aware of General Howe's powerful troops across the icy waters. They await the decision of their leader, General George Washington, for he and he alone can make the choice upon which hinges the destiny of their infant nation.
All right, then. How much you want for the boat that says Popeye on it?
$1.20 an hour.
Uh-huh. Well, how about the one that says Donald Duck on it?
Eh?
The one with the little striped awning there?
Oh, yeah. Well, that boat right there?
That boat right there?
That boat right
That's
there?
That's the boat.
Will run you $2 an hour.
What? That's an outrage. This is December. It's your off-season.
Huh.
How many customers can you get this time
Look,
of year?
Look, fella, you run the army and let me run the boat rental, okay?
All right. Don't get smart with me. I'm General Washington.
I know who you are. I seen your picture on the money, and I wish you'd make up your mind. The boat rides are closing.
Well, let's review them once again here. Popeye was $1.20
an hour. That's
yeah.
$1.20 an hour, that's right.
And the one with the striped awning.
General Duck.
General Washington, sir.
Yes, what is it?
The men are freezing.
So?
So we were wondering if we could come to some decision on the boat.
Yeah, they think they got problems. I just had my wig set this morning, and this damp air isn't doing it any good. Look at it, straight as a stick.
Well, it looks just fine to me, sir.
Really?
Huh? Yes, yes.
Think it looks all right?
Listen, you're going to rent a boat tonight or not? I'd like to freeze my ears off.
All right, don't rush me.
If we could make a decision on the boat, sir, it'll soon be daylight.
Let it be daylight. We're liable to tip over out there at night.
Yes, well, there was the element of surprise in the whole thing, don't you see, sir?
Oh. Well, all right. You can get the men loaded in the other boats. Get that out of the way.
They are in the other boats, sir. They have been for hours. Now, if we could just come
to
some...
All right. Hold your horses.
We ate the horses yesterday, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be with you
soon. Did you really eat the horses yesterday?
I didn't. They did. Enlisted man. Now I got it narrowed down to two here. Popeye has the dear little seats in it.
Yes, yes.
And that's $1.20.
Uh-huh.
See? And Donald Duck has the striped awning.
I see.
$2. Now I'll leave it up to you, Lieutenant. Doesn't that strike you as a little high?
Well, I don't know, sir. Perhaps a bit, but...
All right, you see there? Huh. Now, what would you say to $1.75 for Donald Duck?
$2 an hour, not a penny less.
Hey, what are you trying to do, gouge a serviceman?
Well, I might ask, what are you army guys trying to do? Stifle the small businessman?
Why, that's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
All right, then, kick the end of Donald Duck around there again. Let me see it.
I can't. My feet are frozen. Oh. Look, mister, why don't you take the one called Popeye? You'll be happy with that boat. The price is right, $1.20 an hour.
Well, I don't know. You like it, Lieutenant?
She's a beaut, sir. Besides, we're only renting it for the one night.
But you really like it better than the one with the awning.
You wouldn't want the one with the awning, sir. Once you got into it, you'd hate it. Honestly, take the other one.
Popeye, you think it's really me?
Yes, on my word, sir, it's you.
But I just don't know about the color.
The color is fine. Black is a great color. It sets off your wig.
Really?
Yes!
All right. Popeye it is.
I tell you, boy, I've seen some customers, but this guy's a Lulu.
Now, we got everything, the flag?
Right, sir.
The ukulele?
Yes, sir.
The sandwiches?
The boatman has some right here, sir.
Oh. What kind you got there?
I got ham and Swiss, liverwurst, or tuna salad.
Well, let me see, is he... Tuna salad, good today?
It's you! It's you!
All right, how much?
It's 25 cents.
What? 25 cents for a tuna salad sandwich?
Here, take it with my blessings.
Well, I...
Take a liverwurst, too. Enjoy! Enjoy!
And so the Delaware was crossed. Thus was begun one of the most glorious pages in American history.
Imagine that guy. What a 25 cents. Lousy tuna. Whoops, watch where you're rolling. Men like this little boat I picked out for you here? Called Popeye.
Sound the fights, beat the drums, be ready for the moment. Victory comes ever forward, patriots fall.
And America has always gone forward on the sound of marching feet to the military beat of drums, drums, drums. Helping to hold the banner high, stirring the hearts of her fighting men, this then is the spirit of 76.
What do you mean you're walking off the job?
Like I'm walking off the job, man. I don't have to work with that kind of square drummer.
Well,
man.
I don't see any
no,
reason
I mean,
why
when I accepted the gig, I didn't know I was going to have to play fife with the kind of moldy fig.
Well, we
drumming
can.
Like what is going on up ahead there, man. No.
Moldy,
Now, the kid here is on second drums, and the kid is swinging pretty good, but we can't make it swing with that other cat, Dick.
You tell him, Bix.
Look here now, we're engaged in battle. The army's depending
well,
on you.
Well, too bad, man. Like you're back here holding the flag, you don't have to walk next to him, you know?
Well, what exactly is your main objection to the man?
Well, in the first place, anybody with a name like Yankee...
Doodle.
Yeah, well, the name says it, man, you know?
Yes, but what is the main problem?
Like it's a toss-up between the drumming and the singing, man.
The singing.
I got a bandage around my ears, but it doesn't help much. It's a bad sign.
Well, let's walk back up there and talk to him. See if we can't straighten it out.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right, Doodle. The fife player and the other drummer want to leave. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
They're out of step with me. That's what's the trouble.
Is that true?
Wow. He wants to play yep, up, 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 and it ought to go scoopy doopy doopy doop, bow, 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 yeah, bow, ooh, ooh. Boom. Man, like you didn't say anything about though we were going to work up near the cannonballs, man. I mean, I thought we were working like an officer's club dance, man.
Let's get on with the procession here, gracious.
Yes, now let's make an effort and play it like Doodle wants to.
Yeah, well, it's a drag.
Get on with the marching here.
Father and I went down to camp along with Captain Gooding. There we saw the men and boys as thick as hasty. Everybody!
Yankee Doodle, keep it up.
Keep it up and we'll blow the whole wall.
Mind the music and the step and with the girls behind.
I heard that.
Yankee Doodle came to town a-riding on the pony. He stuck a feather in his cap and called it back a pony.
Yes, sir! I'm a Yankee Doodle.
That's all, man. That's it.
I'm hip.
That's it.
Come on, pick up your instruments there.
No, that's it, man.
What's the trouble now?
It's a bad scene, man, right?
Bad scene, Bix.
Come on, you're holding up the whole parade.
Let's stop the bickering in the ranks here. Do you want the war to end on a note of triumph or disaster?
Like either way, man. Just so it swings.
Now look.
Scooby-Doo.
Let's reach a compromise here. Play it 8 bars your way and 8 bars Doodle's.
All right.
Crazy.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle, dandy. Find the music and the step and...
Okay, out of the way, man. Like...
Well, that was pretty rude. Hold it, people, please!
Pretty good there, Daddy.
You've influenced me a lot, Bix.
Yeah, well, you know.
Outrageous! You ruined the whole selection.
Mercy. Yorktown, 1781. This was the climax. Pitifully short of food and supplies, the tattered American army is reduced to a mere handful. While destiny held its breath, General George Washington courageously faced the most awesome challenge of his career.
All right, once again now.
Yes, sir.
You think I ought to surrender in the blue blazer or the trench coat?
Well, the trench coat is nice, sir, but...
Let me slip the blue blazer on once again just to give you the idea.
Sir, that won't be necessary. I remember the
blazer.
Well,
I'll just give you the idea.
You've tried it on 12 times, sir.
Well, you can't rush into these things.
Pardon me, General Washington?
Yes, who are you?
Snyder's my name. I'm from American Bell and Bell. I've got a statement here that's 2 years overdue for that big 5,000-pound job in Philadelphia.
What? You expect us to pay for that bell? Huh. Had a crack in it as long as your arm.
Well, I don't know anything about a crack. All I know is I'm supposed to get something on the account.
Look, I'm going down in history at the moment. Could you come back in a little while?
Well, if you could give us a portion of it now and the balance after you get the country straightened out.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Now I'll leave it up to you, Mr. Snyder. Do you see me surrendering a blue blazer with antique military...
Watch yourself, sir!
Buttons? Not too ivy, just...
General Washington, sir.
Yes, what is it, Lieutenant?
I have an idea how we might not have to surrender after all.
What do you mean? I'm all dressed for the occasion.
But, sir, your country is at stake. Now, here's my idea. You know the Rockwell boy who works on Franklin's magazine?
The one he just hired?
Yeah, skinny kid with a pipe.
Right.
I can have him here in 15 minutes, sir. Uh-huh. I'll get him a big piece of canvas, 500 yards long, some brushes, a lot of paint.
I see.
But we've got to work faster. Uh-huh. Finish by daybreak. Now, here's my plan. While the British are sleeping...
Good morning, Lord Cornwallis.
Oh, hello, Bradshaw. Fine morning, isn't it, old man? Just the sort of morning to defeat the American rebels, right?
Right, sir.
Well then, shall we mount the attack and muddle through to victory? What was that?
English horns.
No, before that.
Gunfire. Oh, the Americans, General. Look, they must have brought up 20,000 fresh troops during the night.
Yeah. Let me have the glass.
Here's it.
No, the other one. Jove, you're right. Look at them all out there. How fierce they look. Why, they're not moving a muscle. Seem to be frozen in their tracks. Almost like a painting. A grim visage of war. My, look at the determination on that fellow. The skinny kid with the pipe. Hello. They've begun their barrage.
Great heavens, Lord Cornwallis. I'm afraid we've had it.
Yes. Well, time for the better part of valor and all that. Shall we go?
After you, sir.
Righto.
The thing is working, Lieutenant. Well, I don't... Wait! General Washington!
Huh?
Here come a couple of British officers waving a white flag!
I say, we surrender. We give up. Stop all that dreadful shooting, old man.
All right, wait a minute. Let me kill the sound effect here. Okay, you guys. Strike the war set. Roll it up.
Good heavens. We've been diddled.
Did I hear you surrender there?
Yes, but look here, old fella. It's not cricket. You're not playing the game.
What's that?
We thought you had a whole regiment here. Look, Bradshaw, the whole thing was nothing but a ruddy painting, a backdrop.
That's right. Well, a little gimmick I thought up there. Actually, our army was routed yesterday. Nobody here but me, the lieutenant, and the skinny kid with the... Where'd he go?
You rolled him up in the backdrop, sir.
Oh, yes. Well, release him there. You all right, young man?
Give him a pipe.
Poor Rich. There's his pipe jammed in his cheek. Give him a hand, Bradshaw.
Oh, yes, of course. Ruined a good cave, would he, there?
Fortunes of war.
I say, Lord Cornwallis, this whole thing is...
No, Bradshaw. Well, you fellows win, I guess.
Yes, well, that's the way it goes, you know.
Of course, the king will be livid.
Uh-huh. Well, you still have most of the rest of the world. Mustn't be piggy.
Quite so, yes.
Say, you mind if I try on the sword there?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, all right. What do you think? Is it me?
Lord Cornwallis.
Is it me?
It's you, yes. What is it, Bradshaw?
Could I speak to you privately?
Yes, all right. Excuse us, please. No.
No, if you'll permit me, sir. There's only the three of them. Now, one signal from you, and we'll take them all prisoner.
My dear fellow, look at it this way. Now that those chaps have won, this makes us foreigners, right?
Right.
And we all know how foolishly generous the Americans are.
You mean?
Yes. Tomorrow we apply for foreign aid.
I say, what a smashing idea.
You ready, gentlemen?
Any time, actually.
All right, well, while they're shooting at each other out here, let's step back out and take a bit of an intermission here. Tell you what we're doing. We're doing the unexpurgated version of Stan Freberg Presents the United States of America, his take on the history of our fair land. You have just heard part one, which was originally recorded back in 1961. You're about to hear part two, which came along 35 years later in 1996. And includes a lot of people that you have heard of and a lot of people that you haven't heard of. I'll tell you who you have heard of. Of course, there was Stan himself. There was Jesse White, Phil Leeds, June Foray. She was the voice of Rocky the Flying Squirrel and Natasha. Tyne Daly, John Goodman, David Ogden Stiers, Sherman Helmsley. His two children, Donovan Freberg and Donna Ebsen. Lorenzo Music, Naomi Lewis, Bandit the Dog, and honorable mention goes to Harry Shearer, even though he wound up on the cutting room floor here in Attlewood. Narration on part one was by Paul Fries, and on part two is Corey Burton. Now, I'm away for the week, and I thought, well, this is going to be nice and easy. I'll just, you know, whip this together really quick so I don't have to do it. It turned out to be a whole lot more work than I thought. I had to edit about 30 minutes out of it, and it was a lot of work. I had to listen to it three or four times through and do the editing and then fix all the mistakes and do the best I could. So I hope you like what I've done with it. If not, what can I tell you? It's a little bit longer show than usual. It's about 95 minutes or so, which makes it longer than it would not fit on a CD. And I don't think Stan would like that anyway, so don't do it. So without any further ado, let's get back to part two. I'll see you next week. Hope you've had a good week. I know I have. At least I think I have. What I can remember, anyway. I don't know.
New York. Eager to prosper in the eyes of the world, it was only natural then that the new country should turn to that great American institution, advertising.
I'm Madison.
I'm Jefferson.
I'm Franklin.
I'm Osborne.
Advertising men are we. We said we're Madison, we're Jefferson, we're Franklin, we're Osborne. Agency. We've got a new, all new campaign. We're gonna put it on the train and see if it gets off,
if it gets off,
if it gets off, if it gets off at Washington, D.C.
All right, men. Are we all set for the big USA campaign?
Right, TJ.
Good. Now, wait a minute. Where are you going, Madison?
They're naming the avenue after me today. They want me to cut the ribbon.
But we've got to give the nation presentation. Top management will be here any minute. Besides,
How come they're naming it Madison Avenue? I thought they were going to name it after me, Jefferson Avenue.
Don't you remember, Tom? I get the street, you get your picture on the $2 bill.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's all...
Gentlemen, the client has arrived. President George Washington.
Gentlemen.
George, you're limping.
Yeah, what happened?
They were having some fool ceremony down on the avenue, and I tripped over the ribbon. All right, I'm anxious to see what you think advertising and marketing can do for America. Madison?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Osborne?
Sir.
Let's get on with it. I'm due to have my portrait painted for the $1 bill.
I got dibs on the two.
Whatever.
Now, George, let's talk demographics.
Demo what?
We've been mother-henning the country's marketing problems, and we think we've got the answer image-wise and the image answer-wise. Right, boys?
Right, TJ.
Can you give me that again?
According to the latest Gallup poll...
The who?
Oh, Revere gallops around the country and asks people what they think. He also networks.
What's that mean? Networks.
If somebody doesn't want to be interviewed, he throws a net over them and sees if that works.
Oh.
Anyhow, 82.6% of the people think we're still part of England.
The heck you say?
Yeah, we've held these truths to be self-evident, but nobody's buying it.
They're not?
Not in Europe. We've got to create the demand.
Right, J.M.
We've trained all our big guns in research on the problem.
Now we've got to drop it in Boston Harbor and see if it makes tea.
Bring it in Philadelphia and see if it cracks.
Run it up the Valley Forge and see if it gets frostbite.
Now you've got the hang of it. We've got
Say, did I ever tell you how cold it was up there?
Oh, yes, many times.
We've got to hustle America like any other product. A bar of soap, a package of snuff. You want to attract more European settlers, more investment capital? Here's how we're going to do it. Bring it in, boys.
Big wagon? What's that for?
It's a new medium. We call it telewagon.
Telewagon?
Horses will drag it all over Europe from village to village.
Actors will appear in a little rectangular window in the side and sell the product. Like this.
Tired of the same old European wars? When Napoleon strikes, you need fast, fast, fast relief. We recommend the ingredients found in America.
What's the matter with you, Grace? You're so irritable and jumpy all the time.
Well, I'm afraid I'm gonna be beheaded.
I was the same way. Then I heard about America. Everyone's moving there. It's so indivisible, so chock full of liberty and justice for all.
Hi there. I'm 13-year-old Walter Wabrowski. After 16 hours in a sweatshop, a good deodorant is important to me. In America, every boy or girl has the opportunity to test their own deodorant under one arm, some other kind under the other. That's the American way. One nation, underarm, with stick or roll-on for all.
Europe getting harder to swallow these mornings. Well, sir, you want to get yourself over to America and pour yourself a big bowl of Freedom Flakes. Little amber grains of wheat coated with purple mountain's majesty, fruited or plain.
Half our town moved to America. The other half brushed as usual. Our half had 57% less scurvy. Look, Ma, no rickets.
All right, miss. You're holding a little replica of Bulgaria in one hand and a cut-out replica of America in the other. Wash day's over, and you've given each country a good scrubbing. Which nation came out the brightest?
Well, Bulgaria came out sort of dingy.
Ha! Now look at America. No ring around the country here.
No, America looks definitely brighter. What you got here is your alabaster cities gleaming, undimmed by human tears.
Why don't you make the switch to all temperature America?
Move to America and light up your life, such as it is, and you too will say...
I'm sold on America.
Well, what do you think, George?
I don't know. You think that'll appeal to your poor huddled masses?
Trust me.
It won't appeal to too many huddled masses, will it?
Nah. Meanwhile, we just need one more thing.
A symbol that'll grab them by the heartstrings and make them holler uncle, which brings us to the best part, a walking corporate image. Here he is, Uncle Irving.
What? An athlete in red shorts, a blue undershirt. You think it's us?
It's us. It's a celebrity endorsement.
Can't you see, George? It's a great campaign.
Wait a minute. Irving is no good for a name.
Hit it, people!
What is the place where the good guys all live? Why, that's America! America! Stand up and give three cheers for that country to whom the bad guys all lose. Why, that's America! America! Have you heard the news? That's the lucky place where any resident can grow up to be president. Unless he's Landon or Dewey or Humphrey or Mondale. But what the hey? The USA is still okay.
George, what do you think?
Not bad. But I still say Uncle Irving is all wrong for our corporate image. We need a different looking... Oh, that's probably my Uncle Sam. I invited him down to join us for lunch. Come in! Gentlemen, my Uncle Sam.
Kind of a flashy dresser, isn't he? Red and white striped pants, blue coat, a white goatee, and a top hat with stars around it.
Yeah, well, that's the way my Uncle Sam always dresses. Sam, you're late.
Is that right? I want you.
Don't point your finger at me, Sam. It's impolite to point.
And you to know.
Wait a minute! Are you thinking what we're thinking?
Yes! I think it's time for lunch.
In the 1800s, one of America's most beloved songwriters was Stephen Foster, composer of such familiar folk songs as Way Down Upon the Swanee River, I Come From Alabama with a Banjo on My Knee, Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair, The Sun Shines Bright on My Old Kentucky Home, Masses in the Cold, Cold Ground, Beautiful Dreamer, Hey Nelly, Camp Town Ladies, Old Dog Tray, and many more. But did it all come easy for him there in his office? Or did he occasionally suffer from writer's block?
Your publisher's here, Mr. Foster.
Fine.
Well, how's America's most beloved songwriter, the one and only Stephen Foster, today?
Terrible, Sam. I've run dry. Haven't got a song title in my head.
Don't depress your publisher like that, Steve, baby.
I tell you, I'm in trouble, Sam. I can't think of a song to save me.
Don't worry. You'll come up with something soon.
I know, but I haven't had a hit song in over 2 years. I can't think of a single line.
Well, you gotta keep your ear to the ground. Hey, there's inspiration all around you.
Really? Well, I don't know.
Here's the mail, Mr. Foster. There's a fan letter from way down upon the Swanee River.
Uh-huh. Just put it on that old dog tray there.
That what?
Some nut was in here selling trays with pictures of Cocker Spaniels on them. You ready for that? I bought one to help him out. Yeah, we got all the kooks in here. Get that, will you, Sam?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Well, some guy's out here with a banjo strapped to his knee.
Mr. Foster?
Yes?
I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee.
So?
It cut off the circulation.
See what I mean? That's the kind of interruptions I get around here.
Where are you going now?
I'm going to Louisiana, my true love for to see.
Out! Out! I tell you, Sam, it's depressing. Gone are the days when my heart was young and gay.
Look, why don't you get away from New York for a while? Come down to my place in Kentucky for a couple days.
How's the weather down there? Pretty good?
Sure, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home.
Yeah?
Sure, we'll throw a little party, invite Laura Lee, Nellie Bly.
Hey, Nellie, I remember her.
You remember Jeannie?
Kid with the light brown hair.
Uh-huh.
Funny thing, I dreamt about her the other night.
You're a beautiful dreamer, Steve. She's a knockout.
Yes?
Mr. Foster, sir?
Yes, what is it, Frimley?
Where shall I file these Bach oratorios?
Stick them down in the basement.
Oh, it's awfully damp down there, sir. You sure you want to put these masses in the cold, cold ground?
So, put them in the attic. Just don't bother me. Now, that'll give you an idea what it's...
Here's a new vocal group wants to audition for you, Mr. Foster.
Well, what do you call yourselves?
Camp Town Ladies.
Sing this song.
Doo-da, doo-da.
Forget it. I ask you, Sam, how can a man write hit songs in this nut house?
Ah, come on, let's go downstairs. I'll buy you a good cigar.
Wait a minute. What did you say?
I said, come on downstairs, I'll buy you a good cigar.
Come on downstairs, I'll buy you a good cigar, dear. At last, I'm writing again.
Washington, D.C. In a psychiatrist's office, a tall, lanky, bearded man lies on a couch, his stovepipe hat on his chest. The psychiatrist speaks.
How long have you had the feeling that you were President of the United States?
Since last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I was inaugurated last Tuesday.
Well, you were?
Yes, I was.
Very well. Have it your way. You are President of the United States.
It was in all the papers.
Yes. Well, Mr. Lincoln, what basically is your problem?
That is my problem. I never wanted to be president. Don't you see? It was all Mary's idea.
Mary?
My wife. Nag, nag, nag. Was the filibuster from morning to night. You want to be a two-bit lawyer all your life? Don't you want to live in the White House?
The presidency then represents a certain wish fulfillment for Mrs. Lincoln?
Believe me, they should have made her president.
Really?
No, not really. I'm just joshing. She didn't have the beard for it, actually. Or the mole.
Yes. But if you are unhappy being president, what then would you rather be?
You'll laugh.
No, I won't.
All I have ever wanted to be was in show business.
Sir?
A stand-up comedian. I started wisecracking around when I was about 19.
You worked on the stage?
Mostly I worked around Cracker Barrels, you know. From the time I heard them laughing, oh, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm. Did you only work Cracker Barrels?
No, I worked around. I did casuals. A barbershop here, a rail-splitting contest there. Once in a blue moon, a Kiwanis luncheon. I was a riot. Here, ask me how long a man's legs ought to be.
All right. How long should a man's legs be?
Long enough to reach the ground. That's the kind of jokes I did.
You never told anyone that you aspired to be a professional comic?
Well, I never came right out and said anything, but why do you think I was joshing around all this time, doing stand-up in this wrinkled suit? I kept hoping to be discovered.
Baggy pants syndrome.
Anyhow, I didn't notice anybody signing me up for Christie's Minstrels exactly, so I started studying law at night, you know, an ace in the hole. Next thing I knew, I'd open up a little practice over in Springfield, Illinois, got married, and settled down.
You kept telling jokes as an attorney?
Well, just to keep my hand in. Yes, I wanted to be ready in case my big break came. Too bad you never caught me in court. I came off like a kind of funny Clarence Darrow.
Clarence,
I do a deadpan cross-examination I'd like to have you see sometime. I'm also very funny in a sidebar.
Getting back to your problem, Mr. Lincoln.
My problem is Mary, mostly. Mary's just like a warm bath. Once you get used to it, it ain't so hot.
Yes. How far do you think you would have gone as a humorist?
I'll tell you how far. After my debates, I was just on the verge of being booked into Lowe's Peoria. I mean, it was in the bag. After that, I would have been a cinch for the Orpheum Circuit, vaudeville. But oh, no. Mrs. Lincoln made me go into politics, campaign for the presidency. Next thing you know, I was president of the United States. Now, I suppose I'll never make the big time.
Would you like to talk about it?
Would I?
Some people enjoy splitting rails, hammering nails, blazing trails. This all fails to delight me. Some folks seek employment in banks, but no thanks, for the ranks of the banks don't excite me.
top executive jobs they may pursue. There's just one thing that I'm born to do. I want to be where the spotlight and the curtain is. Just look for me where the limelight that for certain is. It doesn't matter if it's Broadway or it's Hoboken, 'cause I'm show vote all the way. I'll do the part that is arty and ethereal. I'll do the smart or the not so hot material. It doesn't matter if it's Shakespeare or it's pure hope, because I'm show vote all the way. Let me play all parts. There are no small parts, only small actors, my friend. I'll play a death scene, the big Macbeth scene, or just the second witch from the inn. I'll do a bit on a showboat or a ship to roam. I'll play a split week in Muncie or the Hippodrome. I'll keep on smiling, though I know the show may go broke, because I'm show folk all the way. Don't wanna fly to the moon or be a steel tycoon or president of the USA. I just wanna be show folk. Those inner glow folk. Because I'm show folk.
Mr. Lincoln.
Sorry if I tapped up your parquet floor there.
Oh, that's all right. Sir, you are a born entertainer. And if your wife doesn't like it...
Don't worry, she won't.
Well, that's too bad. Are you going to let a woman shove you around? Let her call the tune? Ridiculous. Now, as soon as your 4-year term is up...
Say, how long are you going to be, anyhow?
Oh, sorry, dear. Mr. Lincoln, my wife, Wilma...
How do you do?
How do you do? Look, how long do you think I can read old National Geographics out here?
We're just finishing up, dear.
Well, we're due at the Kraft Ebbings at 7, and you know how influential he is, so get the lead out.
You want to know something? I never wanted to be a psychiatrist, either. It was all Wilma's idea. You'd be surprised at what I really wanted to do.
You mean?
Believe me. Don't want to be employed as a Sigmund Freud or president of the air. I just want to be show folk, those ego go folk,
those dynamo folk,
those tappy toe folk.
We just want to be show folk, those inner glow folk, 'cause way down deep inside we're really show folk.
As the war between the states draws closer, the new president works overtime, poring over papers into the night.
I see where Mark Twain is packing them in Philly.
Will you put that variety down and get your feet off the furniture?
Whoops, sorry.
Where were you raised, in a log cabin?
As a matter of fact...
Now, I got the deal all set to use your name on a little set of toy logs.
Yes?
A highway and a music center.
Wait a minute. How's that going to sound? The Abe Center?
It's going to sound just fine.
All right, dear.
And one more thing.
Yes?
What about the Dred Scott decision?
The what?
Dred Scott? Nice-looking gentleman we interviewed yesterday for the White House butler's job?
Oh, yeah.
The agency says if he isn't right for the butler's job, how about Secretary of Agriculture?
Well, Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Hello, Mary. I hope I'm not intruding.
Why, nonsense, Harriet. I was just leaving. One last thing, Abe.
Yes?
About the beard.
Yes?
You're gonna keep it?
Yes, I am.
Why?
It's a guy thing.
Oh. Well, is it okay if Treasury puts your picture on the penny and the $5 bill?
Fine.
2% of the gross?
Whatever.
Done.
Well, Harriet, I certainly enjoyed reading the manuscript of your novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin, but do you mind a little constructive criticism?
Well, no.
Well, one of the first rules of a successful novel is you gotta get a little conflict into it. Now, you've written a nice romantic story, but to take this fella Simon...
Legree.
Simon Legree, yes. I think he's too mamby-pamby.
Can't you make him meaner?
Who would it be mean to?
Well, it could irritate the old gentleman, Uncle...
Tom.
Uncle Tom, right. Legree could drive him out in the snow, rough up his wife and kid, get some shock value going for you. That's what people look for in a novel.
Really?
Trust me, violence and more violence. You'd be surprised what kind of PR this could get for your book.
The emotions of a nation already in turmoil were stirred up anew by the conflict in Mrs. Stowe's violent little book as millions of people rushed to buy Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Ah, Mr. Stanton?
Mr. President, I am afraid I bring bad news, sir.
Yes?
Fort Sumter has been fired upon. This means war.
Really?
Thanks to that controversial novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yeah, a violent book. Terrible. Yes, would you care for some tea?
No, thank you. I think we can safely say the Civil War has definitely started.
The heck you say?
Yes.
All right, you alert the White House press room. I'll notify American Heritage.
One more thing, sir.
Yes?
General Robert E. Lee has tendered his resignation from the United States Army and defected to the South.
Robert E. Lee? That's the last steamboat I name after him.
Mr. Lincoln?
Yes? Oh, you must be the new butler, Dred Scott.
Yes, sir.
Nice to have you with us.
Where shall I serve the tea, Mr. Lincoln?
How about the Lincoln bedroom?
The Lincoln,
Never mind. Put the tray right down here in the sitting room. That'll be fine.
Trouble, Mr. Lincoln.
I'm afraid so.
Well, sir, you know what I always say?
What do you always say?
Always say, 87 years ago...
How many years is that?
87.
Oh.
Our fathers brought forth upon...
Hold it. Wait just a minute. Better make a note on this old envelope here. 87?
Seven.
Go ahead.
Years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation.
Hold it. You're going too fast.
Conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition...
To the proposition...
That all persons are created equal.
Persons? Why not men are created equal?
Got to be politically correct.
Politically,
Furthermore, this nation cannot exist half slave and half free.
Hold it. Half free and half slave?
Other way around. Half slave and half free.
Better.
Now, we are engaged in a great civil war.
All right, you don't have to rub it in.
Testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived, so dedicated, can long hang in there.
Can long,
You get all that?
Shh, keep your voice down. The walls could have ears, you know.
Don't worry about it. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here.
Yes, go on.
But it will never forget the cigar butts a man's got to clean up in a place like this.
All right, that'll do.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Lincoln.
Wait till I get my pen and envelope. All right, go ahead.
My mama always said to me three things.
Yes?
She said, number one, never stay in wet clothes. Number two, lay off the hard liquor and eat plenty greens.
All right, fine, that'll be all.
And number three, that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from Alabama.
Alabama?
Or wherever.
'63, as Stonewall Jackson is about to march up a certain street in the north, gentleman from the War Department hurries to the door of Mrs. Barbara Frietchie.
Yes?
Mrs. Frietchie?
Yes, what?
Grinch is my name. I'm from the War Department.
The Northern War Department?
The Union, yes. Now, unfortunately, Stonewall Jackson is about to come marching right past your house.
I know. I was just leaving. Could you help me with my bags?
No, here, put those down. I'll come right to the point because we haven't much time. You've been selected Martyr of the Year.
You mean Mother.
No, Martyr. Here we go. Here's your little medal, a scroll, hey, you can read that later, and a picture of you on an ashtray that says Martyr and glows in the dark.
Well, gee, isn't that nice. But why me in particular?
Because of three things that you possess. Courage.
Yes.
An upstairs bedroom facing Elm Street.
Yes.
And a loud, shrill voice.
Could you give me that again?
That is why you've been given this opportunity to become a national hero.
Well... What do I have to do? What was that?
French horns.
Oh.
All right, here's the drill. As you may not know, the entire town of Frederick is about to be taken by Stonewall Jackson.
I do know.
And funnily enough, he's going to come riding right past your house.
That's why I'm out of here.
Hold it. Now, you run upstairs and hang this Union flag out the window.
Yeah, well, I guess I could.
You probably shoot at the flag, so keep down.
Keep down, yes.
Now, here comes the martyr part. When he's right out front, you retrieve the flag, stick your head out the window, and let fly with the inspirational line.
What sort of inspiration? Did you say stick my head out of the window?
Right out the window, yes.
You're putting me on.
No, no. Now, we commissioned a coffee house poet over in Greenwich Village, John Greenleaf Whittier.
Whittier.
To write a little poem commemorating your brave act, which we'll feed to the press later. It goes like this. She leaned far out on the windowsill and shook the flag with a royal will. Here comes your line. Here's what you say. Shoot, if you must, this old gray head, but spare my country's flag, she said.
Who said?
You said.
I'll tell you what, I'll mail it to him.
No.
Out of my way, please.
No, now, Mrs. Fritchie, we in the War Department saw you as more of a martyr.
A martyr?
That's the image, yes.
Forget it. What do you think this is? Open season on old ladies?
Frankly, I am just a little bit disappointed in your...
Yeah, I don't see you sticking your head out of any windows.
Well, let's not be
petty. What if he really
about...
shoots at me? Hmm? No, thanks. This old gray head is not going out any window.
It isn't?
I promise you it isn't.
What you're insinuating with your veiled references is, if the truth were known, you do not really wish to stick that old gray head out the window and holler, shoot if you must.
You bet your dear sweet life I don't.
M is for the many things I don't like. Overkill is one of them, my dear. T is for the train, which I intend to grab. H is for my head, which I revere. Did you say shoot if you must? You are kid, ding I trust, Joan of Arc. Oh, Molly Pitcher, I'm not. What's for the wars in the bag? And you've got a spare flag, but this is the only old gray head I've got. Shoot, he will do when I throw.
Tennessee, 1862. As a brief respite occurs in the Battle of Shiloh, General Ulysses S. Grant is paid a visit at his command tent by President Lincoln.
Mr. President.
Ulysses?
Thanks for coming all the way out here to the front, sir.
Well, I was in the neighborhood anyhow. How's it going for our side?
Well, I can show you better on this map here.
All right.
Mind if I smoke while I'm...
No, go right ahead. Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice map.
Thanks. Well, the initial Confederate attack came booming out of the woods here.
Uh-huh.
Three battle lines deep on the first day.
Yes.
Well, it soon drove our entire Union line back to here.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, As he was spurring the southern charge on the peach orchard, Johnson got hit, and Beauregard assumed overall command.
I see.
Now, picture, if you will, the Union Army driven back to here, Beauregard and Prentiss moving the Confederate artillery in from here.
Say, you're quite a Civil War buff, aren't you?
Yeah. Now, I'm planning to counterattack as soon as the weather clears up, but in the meantime...
Yes?
I don't mind telling you, the men's morale is pretty low. They're weary and they're restless. Some of them are right outside. Step over here, I'll open up the tent flap for you.
Okay.
Listen.
Rumble, rumble, rumble. Yippee, yippee, yippee.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Have a seat here, sir.
Thank you.
Well, it isn't easy being under fire day after day, and so... I envisioned we might put together a kind of theatrical entertainment for them. A kind of a camp show. We could call it a USO show.
USO? What does that stand for?
Union side only.
The South doesn't get to look at it.
No. Just the Union.
Just the Union.
Yeah. Now, it isn't easy to get a whole theatrical company together, so maybe we could just get some comedian, some all-around... Why have you jumped up to your feet there?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Right. Some all-around showman, and I thought that you...
Yes?
As president, could help us locate some comic who could pull a few wisecracks.
Like, how long should a man's legs be?
Get long enough to reach the ground. That's the idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Do a couple of card tricks, a little tap dancing, and I thought that you might be able to locate such a person.
Would I? I can see the whole thing in my mind. Thank you very much. This is Abe Shiloh Lincoln saying, tote that gun, lift that boot, and you'll win the war in your Union suit. But really, it's great to be here at Shiloh. Shiloh, that's like the Catskills with live ammunition. The only way you can get to the other side of Missionary Ridge is to be born there. Now here's Francis Langford singing Waiting for the Robert E. Lee. That what you had in mind?
Francis Langford?
Minstrel singer, I know. Be lucky to get him.
Well, I know how busy you are, so...
I'll work it in. Anyhow, you're doing a great job, Ulysses. You know, somebody complained to me about your drinking... I said, find out what brand General Grant drinks and send a case of that to each of my other generals.
Funny you should mention that.
Yes?
As long as you're up, get me a blast. I must confess, under duress, I like to be gassed. Let other generals trudge sober as a judge. Boy, this is the only way to fly. Pursuing the south, over the hills. Fearless and brave, minus a shave and rock to the gills. A half a pint, I know what to take, Shiloh. So as long as you're up, get me a blast. A sober life's a hard life, the sort of a life with which I clash. For though I sympathize with temperance, there's a lot to be said for being smashed. It helps to lubricate things like, for example, civil wars. You can have the dry life, brother. This is my life. Open wide the tavern doors.
As long as I'm up, get him a blast. He must confess, under duress, he likes to be gassed. Let other generals strike sober as a judge. Boy, this is the only way to fly. Pursuing the south, over the hills, fearless and brave, minus a shape, and clung to the gills. I have a mind, I know what to take, shine my life. For as long as you're up, get him a blast.
April 9th, 1865, Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia. General Robert E. Lee finally surrenders to the Union, and the Civil War is over. President Lincoln officiates as Robert E. Lee prepares to hand over his sword to General Ulysses S. Grant.
Well, that just about wraps up the old ball game, eh, Bobby Lee?
Yeah, well, Ulysses, you win a few, lose a few. You yeah. know, what the heck?
No hard feelings.
Oh, listen, I've forgotten it already. Are you kidding?
What a guy.
All right, boys, can we get on with the surrender?
All right.
Fine, fine. On behalf of the Confederacy, it is my painful duty to surrender to you the Army of Northern Virginia. My sword, sir.
Yeah, it's all right. Keep it. I already have one.
Ulysses,
I mean, if you want to talk about swords...
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. I mean, that's a nice sword, but, you know.
I'll have you know, sir, my sword is a family heirloom.
All right, you want to talk swords, fella? Huh? See that? That's a blade.
You would compare that overgrown letter opener...
What?
Gentlemen, please!
With that big scout knife...
Don't fool with the Union, buddy. I'm warning you.
How would you like to step outside?
What's the matter with right here? Come
gentlemen,
on, Lee.
Gentlemen, please! The surrender?
The what?
Bind up the nation's wounds and all that? Got to end the Civil War. Documentary makers are waiting.
All right. Bobby, yeah. Hand over the sword. Such as it is.
What?
Never mind.
All right. Here. Thank you.
Fine. All right, that's a wrap. Ready, gentlemen?
Meanwhile, on the British liner, the Lusitania, two men below deck had no idea what an explosion in the side of the ship would now set off.
What do you mean you sunk the Lusitania, Charlie?
Well, I sunk the Lusitania, that's all.
But how could you do a thing like that?
Well, the oven blew up, that's all. I was baking Floating Island, and the next thing I knew, kaboom!
Well, there's a hole in the side of the ship big enough to drive a truck through.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, doesn't do any good, Charlie. Now, let's get our story straight. We were sunk by a German U-boat.
A German U-boat? You think anybody would swallow that?
Well, it's just wild enough, Charlie. Just wild enough.
Extra, extra! Lusitania sunk by German U-boat. World War I declared.
A small office in the Brill Building in New York. Two Tin Pan Alley songwriters plug away for 4 years writing less than memorable war songs.
Well, Eddie?
Yeah, Irving?
Let's run through a medley of our great songs.
Okay.
So we'll be ready for our big Ziegfeld audition.
Right. Here we go.
Kaiser Bill, you dirty guy. Want to know what we think? There are nicer enemies than U-boat. U-boat. Why don't you act like a true boat? Slipping around beneath the surface. Don't you realize that makes us nervous?
And then we wrote,
the guns of August were a whole lot louder than the guns of June or July. It was a lousy month in Broadway's eyes,
but it was memorable ballistics-wise.
When they issued the Yanks their leggings and tanks, they should have issued their mere plugs too, because the guns of August were a whole lot louder than the guns of June or July.
Hold it, Eddie. Look outside the window.
Yeah, it's an early snowfall.
Yeah, but we don't usually have snow by...
November the 11th? Wait a minute, Irving. That ain't snow. It's confetti.
And paper streamers. You mean...
Yeah. Well, back to the old piano.
This was the war to end all wars. Hello, peace, hello. Hostilities will be no more. Hello, peace, hello. No more bombs now up in the sky, 'cause everything is apple pie.
Totalitarianism, goodbye.
Hello, peace, hello. Tyranny now will terminate. No further seeds will germinate. The world
to hate. Hello, peace. Nice to see a peace. Hello, peace. Hello.
After that, things got better. Science and technology had gone about as far as they could, and the 20th century, after stopping off briefly at Geneva, became one of the really fun centuries, singing and dancing its way into history. Peace in 1918 had come to stay, for as everyone knew,
there'll never be another war. No, no, there'll never be another war. No more boom, boom, or rat-a-tat now. All the world will be just like that now. Hit us with the alibi, wow, wow. There's nothing more but peace in store. There'll be no hating or despising. No more mobilizing. Bloodshed or oppression. Toodaloo aggression. Take it from me, brother. Trust me on it, mother. There'll never be another war.
Mr. Freeburg.
Yes?
I'm from the World War I Historical
Society. Later.
What is the place where the good guys all live? Why, that's America, America. Stand up and give three cheers for that country too. To be. That's why we say the USA is still okay in our book. But just remember, we can't always take it for granted. Be glad that you're living where peace still sings. Here in America, 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 America.
The United States of America is still a Stan Freeberg production.